Why do we feel the need to be busy? Why is being still and resting a threat to our culture? You would think with the inventions of drive-through instant dinner, with washing machines, dishwashers, microwaves, cars, email, phones, indoor plumbing, praise the Lord, we would have a lot more free time to enjoy life. Yet that does not seem to be the case. It feels like we're in much more of a rush these days than 10, 20 years ago, going from one thing to another. This might not describe everybody's lives here. Some of you might be really good at resting, and that's awesome. But it definitely describes mine. This spring and summer have been wonderful, but they have been very busy. From teens camp to, well, so much. We had girls camp, then we had graduations, then I went to more graduations, then my niece, my foster niece, she graduated and she had no place to go after grad because she was kicked out of her foster home. So I opened my doors to her and her 1.5-year-old child, as I still had my other 14-year-old foster daughter in my house. And so what I thought would be more quiet, restful summer in my house, it's become really loud and really busy with a 1.5-year-old living in my house. For instance, this morning, he was crying at 5:30 in the morning, and of course I woke up, and my other roommate was puking, so, you know, I haven't had much sleep today. But with all the things going on, well, there was more things going on, not just in my house. In ministry, I'm in charge of supervising the summer staff. I also went to girls camp for a whole week as a counselor. I also am in charge of leading and directing a cooking club every Tuesday. I help with a dance club every Thursday. I do planning for the fall curriculum every Friday. We do family beach days on Fridays as well. We do pickups. I have improv bonfires at my house with kids because they just live in my neighborhood and they come over for ice cream and bonfires. It's just constant go with weddings and showers and family events and zoo and just many great, wonderful things. But it just creates a life that is never still. It's a constant go. And when I have a moment to be still, when I have just that one afternoon of nothing, I escape exactly into what Kenny preached on a couple months ago, into entertainment. I don't want to use my brain. I don't want to think. I just escape into Netflix, into movies, instead of into the arms of Jesus. So as I was reflecting on rest, I thought a better topic for me to focus on was balance in life. And maybe you have balance, but I'm preaching this more at myself. But all of us need balance. A balance in pouring out and filling up, in being on the go and being still, in letting go and starting new. We hear we need a balanced diet, nutritionally. Balance our checkbooks. Balance our time. Looking up the word balance, this is the meaning I got. An even distribution of weight, enabling someone or something to remain upright and steady. Steady, that's a good word. When I think of the word steady, I think of Jesus. He was busy with the needs of people around him, and teaching, training his disciples, and doing miracles. But what made him not burn out was, first, he was God. But second, he was also human. He got hot in those hot desert days. He got tired. He got frustrated with people, with his disciples who didn't catch on right away. But he had something else. He knew when to step out of the busyness and get away and be with God. In Mark 1:35, it says, "Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed." Luke 5, verse 15 says, "Yet the news about him spread all more, so that crowds of people came to hear him and be healed of their sickness. But Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed." People were flocking to hear Jesus preach, to have their diseases healed. Jesus was really needed. But Jesus made sure he often withdrew to quiet, solitary places to pray. Many things clamor for our attention, and we often run ourselves ragged attending to them. Like Jesus, however, we should take time to withdraw to quiet, solitary places to pray. Strength comes from God, and we can only be strengthened by spending time with him. I have a confession. I also spend way too much time on Pinterest. Pinterest is a craft site, if you don't know, or it's a site for almost anything. But I get a lot of great ideas on Pinterest for work, a lot of craft ideas, which come in handy. But something I read when I was browsing through Pinterest was this. If you find yourself a bit irritated or overwhelmed, it's a sign that you're spending less time with God and more time with this world. Jesus said, "If you belong to the world, it would love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of the world." John 15, verse 19. And Romans 12, verse 2 says, "Do not conform any longer to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." I know this verse is talking about the patterns of sin. But sin is anything that separates us from God. And if we make busyness an idol, then it becomes sin, because it takes us away from God. Something I was thinking about was, Satan is not too concerned anymore about breaking up relationships with God. He's devised a plan that's brilliant for him. If he keeps us just really busy, so focused on success, on money, on being popular, on fame, on that job that we just can't quit, just keep going and going. We get so busy, we get so caught up with the things of this world, with our responsibilities, that we forget, we neglect to pray, to have time with each other, to have time for our families, and to have time to build our relationship with God. And then he's like, "Look at them, they're running around like crazy rats. I got them where I want them." But just every once in a while, we poke our head up to get some fresh air. Then he bombards us with social media. Okay, let's put them on Facebook and Twitter and Netflix and all that stuff. So if they have a minute, I will consume that minute with even more distractions, with even more stuff to think about, with even more to take them away from Jesus and the preciousness of his love. I'll just make them so preoccupied. Good job, high five myself. That's what he's thinking. So how do we live lives that are steady and in balance when we have a lot of responsibilities and pressures? When our kids are demanding a lot from us, our spouses need our time, our job is never ending, our house needs fixing, our house needs cleaning, and we want to hang out with our friends and with our family. How are we supposed to fit it all in? Well, let's look at John 15 for our scripture this morning. If you have your Bibles, I encourage you to turn there. Starting at verse 1. And this is Jesus' words I love that it's Jesus who says this to us. He says to us, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like the branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burnt. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remained in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he laid down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. This is my command: love each other. John 15 is the high point in the scripture in terms of our relationship with God. Jesus is the vine, the source of life. And we are the branches, the expression of his life. Jesus' main biblical exhortation was to remain in him. I like what the King James Version says. It says, abide in me, so that you may bear fruit that remains forever. We are created to bear fruit. But as John 15:4 says, no branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me, Jesus said. We bear fruit inwardly in our character and outwardly in our spiritual, in our ministry and services to others in the grace of God. The lie we buy into with a busy life, especially a busy life in ministry, is that where our value and our worth comes from. God will see how much I'm doing for him. People will see how much I'm giving to others. Then I will be important. Then I will be accepted. Then I will win their love. But there's nothing we can do to earn God's love. He already loves us. That's just who he is. But these two statements is what dead religious works are about. In Philippians 2, verse 3, it says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. In order to bear fruit, both inwardly and outwardly, we have to make it about focusing on Christ. It is not about us. Surprise. John 15, verse 16 says, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Jesus desires to partner with us. And each of us has an assignment on this earth, a purpose, a destiny that will deepen our relationship with Christ and lead others to Him. We're all called to that. Every one of us. Even if our job isn't in ministry, we're all called to be disciples of Jesus. But in all we do, we have to make it about Him. Without Him, we can do nothing. There are seasons in ministry I get so busy doing things for God. Running around, planning things, getting hectic, that I forget to just be with God. God doesn't need me to do stuff for Him. I mean, He is God who created all things. Why would He need my weak, frail efforts? He doesn't need me. But He chooses to partner with me because He is a God who loves relationship and wants to use us for His glory. Everything Jesus did, He was always pointing to the Father, glorifying the Father, not making it about Him, not making it about fame or praise to Him. He always pointed people to the Father. Our power comes from remaining in Jesus and being filled with the Holy Spirit. It's not about, look what I've done. Look how many kids came to camp this week. Look how big our numbers were. Look how full my church is. It's not about that. It's about pointing them to Jesus. And as a side way, or just a rabbit trail here, but getting caught up in that mentality, that's what burns you out. Thinking that you can be the savior. To save people, people you work with, people who are difficult, people in your family, people in your lives. You want to point them to Jesus. You cannot be Jesus. Your job is just to be faithful in loving them and directing them to Jesus, who is the one who can save them. And that's a hard thing I have to learn sometimes in ministry, working with inner city kids and families who are so broken. I just want to fix everything. I want to be able to do everything. But I can't. But Jesus can. And if I keep my eyes on Him, then as a team, we can accomplish a lot more than me by myself. John 15, verse 7 says, "If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. It is out of a deep abiding in Christ and deep love and relationship that fruit overflows out of our lives, which is what attracts people to us. It's the love of Jesus. It's the passion for Jesus that attracts people to us. But if we are not spending time with Him, if we're not remaining in Him, then we're going to be like those branches that are weak. And then people just get our regurgitated second leftovers. They don't want that. That's not what they're looking for. When we get distracted, people will get the second best. As I was doing some studying on John 15, I came across this YouTube video by this guy named Bass Rican. I don't know how to say his name. It was interesting. But I liked his insight on this. He says, "Unfruitful branches are lifted up out of the dirt and redressed so they can be nourished by the sun again. Some Christians are face down in the dirt, not looking at the sun, Jesus Christ. When we lose sight of Christ and His love, we slip into walking in the flesh, which results in dead religious works, instead of living from our spiritual identity in Christ, and so bear much fruit. We become an unfruitful branch, which means to be face down in the dirt. Being distracted by the cares and opinions of the world and not enjoying the nourishment by basking in the sun that is being Christ-minded. What happens when we become unfruitful because we lose sight of Christ and his love and who we are? John 15 shows that God is the gentle gardener and reminds us that he is head over heels in love with us. We can do nothing good or bad that can change his burning desire and affection for us. In speaking to us like that, he is lifting up our face out of the dirt to look up to his Son so that we can walk after our divine identity instead of producing dead religious works by walking after your flesh. So to bear much fruit, to live a life that is balanced, that is steady, we have to, number one, know God's love. And number two, know who we are. We are his beloved. Before we're anything else, we are his beloved. Before you're a mom, before you're a dad, before you're an inner city missionary, before any title you've been given, you are God's son or God's daughter. You are his beloved child. Jesus is steady, and by focusing on him and becoming like him, his character and actions, we become steady, balanced people. Remaining in Christ or abiding in Christ, it involves us being intentional with our relationship. And I was listening to a sermon by Mike Bickle from International House of Prayer on John 15, and he had a couple things to say about staying in the remaining in Christ, about abiding in Christ. And I added the fourth one. So these are the four things that are good to keep in mind when we want to abide in Christ. Number one, talking with God. Having an ongoing dialogue with a real person. Abiding in Christ involves an ongoing conversation that consists of many 10 to 20 second exchanges, strengthened by longer prayers. Also, when you're in dialogue with God, you will hear from him, and you will know what you should say yes to and what you should say no to if you're following God's leading. So talking to God is so important in order to remain in him. He wants to hear your voice. He delights at your voice. So, and that's exactly what Jesus did. He escaped to go and have prayer time with his Father. Number two, applying his promises. Applying the promises of his word empowers us to bear fruit. Shame, fear, and rejection rise up to challenge what he says about loving, forgiving, healing, and providing for us. We must apply the promises of the word to our hearts by confessing the truth and meditating upon it. Be in the word daily is how you remain in him. Obeying his leadership. Jesus promised to manifest his presence to those who obey him. Only in the context of obedient love does he reveal the deep things of his heart. We must love God on his terms. Obedience is an expression of our love for him. John 14, 21 to 23, it says, "Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. And the one who loves me will be loved by my Father. And I too will love them and show myself to them." Then Judas said, "But Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the world?" Jesus replied, "Anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them." When Jesus makes his home in you and your home is in Jesus, that's how you're going to have a steady, balanced, peaceful life. Even with the chaos and the responsibilities and the circumstances that come up against us, even with the pressures of having to move and not knowing the details, even with all these things, being sick, longing for things, when we remain in Christ, we can be steady because he is steadfast. And when we are in him, we can be steadfast. No matter what the storm around us, he's the cornerstone, the solid ground. And we must remain in him if we want to be steady and steadfast. And the fourth that I added was, if you want to have a remaining relationship in Christ, then you have to have a heart of worship. Our hearts delighting in Jesus and expressing praise to him for all the true things that the Word teaches us about who he is and what he has done for us and who we are in him. Fill your minds with worship and watch your hunger for God grow and the fruit in your life blossom. When we are in a time of worship, remember what God has done for you in the past. His faithfulness, how he has healed you and brought you out of the desert, how he's brought you hope in the times of hopelessness, how he even saved you. Remember the things he's done for you. And in all these things, that is how we remain strong in Christ. So, with that said, I want to invite you to a time of worship with me. I know our church, we do a lot of worship, and I love it. And this is a time of just letting go of your to-do list or all the thoughts that are running in your head about what you have to get done this week. Or even the things that worry you. I just want you to let it go. And for the next 15 minutes, focus on him. Focus on being strengthened in your inner man by the one who loves you. And remaining in his presence. I invite you to engage with God for yourself from the heart and not just with your eyes. Stand to your feet and be filled up as we worship. You can play that video now. Lord Jesus, I just pray right now that your Holy Spirit would come and fill us with your presence. And that we can abide in you as we experience your presence here today.
I lift up my voice and say, Lord, I know you love me. Right to you, right now, right to you, right now. Lord, I know you love me. Yes, I know you love me. Lord, I know you love me. Right to you, right now, right to you, right now. Lord, I know you love me. Yes, I know you love me. Lord, I know you love me. Right to you, right now, right to you, right now. Lord, I know you love me. Yes, I know you love me. Lord, I know you love me. Right to you, right now, right to you, right now. Lord, I know you love me. Yes, I know you love me. Lord, I know you love me. Right to you, right now, right here, right now. Lord, I know you love me. Yes, I know you love me. Lord, I know you love me. hear it, and now hope it's arising as I see you smiling. Oh, you're the one, there you go again. You're lifting my heart, lifting my head. Now hope it's arising as I see you smiling. Finger, you put that robe upon my back. You throw your arms around me and say, you are my son, my.